Welcome to Founder Story, the podcast where trailblazing entrepreneurs share their extraordinary journeys, uncover the passion, grit, and vision that drive the world of business and innovation.
Without it in the morning. Others are true connoisseurs. We are talking about coffee. Welcome to another episode of Founder Story. My name is Diana Lammertz. Coffee is a big business with a global market value of more than $490 billion. Cole Shepard founded the Green Coffee Company in 2017, and it has become Colombia's largest coffee producer. Welcome.
Thank you, Diana. Great to be here.
Cole, what inspired you to found a coffee company?
Sure. So, you know, when I came down to Colombia, we're looking at new opportunities. We had a group of real estate investors who were looking at agriculture deals, and they needed something structured, right? And so my background being in mergers and acquisitions and private equity, I structured a business really around these investors who were looking for, you know, corollary businesses next to commercial real estate. And with an ag background of Colombia, you know, there was a lot of opportunities. We were looking at cacao and coffee being the national product of the country, we thought it was a great place to start, you know, and then we grew up really from there. The thesis being an asset management, almost a real estate project, which really grew into an ecosystem and an enterprise.
And it has become quite successful. So what were the key factors behind the significant revenue growth from 1 million to 10 million?
Sure. So, you know, the big changes that we made really were in 2020. In 2017, 2018, when we launched the company, really we were creating really an asset play. You know, we were doing things to compete with buying shopping malls or buying multifamily real estate. 2020, we made the strategic plan to really create an enterprise. What we saw were massive discrepancies and inefficiencies in the Colombian coffee market, as well as the global coffee market. And we started to invest heavily in international management teams, bring capital in to buy more farms, really invest in infrastructure, and really build a platform, right? And so, you know, when we started buying about 600 acres, we've since grown to over 10,000 acres here in Colombia, which makes us the largest consolidated producer in the country. For listeners who don't know, you know, the national product of the country is coffee, and they're the second largest producer of Arabica coffee in the world. So really, the growth story is capital, both physical capital is in terms of dollars, euros, British pounds, and then human capital, which I say is actually more important than the physical money.
But you're also very focused on sustainability. So how does the use of water-efficient technology impact your sustainability goals?
Sure. So I think in businesses like coffee, you know, you're going to be driven by consumer behavior, right? Because it's always going to be with the consumer in mind. Businesses like coffee are so far ahead, I would say, on what people are demanding, what consumers are demanding. So if you're not in the sustainability game, you're not going to be in business, I would say, in 10 to 20 years. The EU is a great example, Diana, is of what you're going to see regulatory-wise in the future. You know, there's new deforestation regulation that's going to basically restrict the amount of coffee, cacao, timber that can enter the EU zone if you're not complying with at least some portion of sustainability metrics. So you have to build that into the framework. Luckily, we've built that into the DNA of the company since we started, because we think it's a key pillar of a consumer product business, actually. So we're ready to roll in that department.
More and more companies are using AI when it comes to production and so forth. How are you using it?
Sure. So there is some new AI technology that's really interesting coming out with how to grade coffees. We're reviewing some technologies right now that you can actually trace coffee beans going through production strains, and you can see where the actual origin of the beans are.
We will return to our show shortly, but first, let's talk about today's sponsor, Magnesium Breakthrough by Bio Optimizers. Did you know 4 out of 5 Americans don't get enough magnesium? Crucial for over 300 biochemical reactions in your body. Here are signs of magnesium deficiency: irritability, anxiety, insomnia, muscle cramps, high blood pressure, and even constipation. I know I suffer from a few of these, but many supplements don't work well because they use low quality magnesium. That's why Magnesium Breakthrough by Bio Optimizers is recommended, offering 7 forms of absorbable magnesium. BioOptimizer stands by their products with a 365-day money-back guarantee. That's insane. So make sure you visit biooptimizers.com, BIOOPTIMIZERS.com/Dan Robbins. That's biooptimizers.com/DanRobbins for a special offer. And make sure you use the code Founders, 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 and you get your 10% off. So check out biooptimizers.com to learn more. And back to the show.
Now, you need a massive data set. So we're working with some providers right now where you can both classify qualities of coffee, origins, and obviously final destinations. What that allows you to do is create product mixes out of the green coffees, which then become roasted coffees and consumer products. You know, I would say in the agricultural space, specifically in coffee, AI is a fairly new phenomenon. I mean, we can't get on ChatGPT and suddenly create a new strand of coffee. Unfortunately, it'd be great if we could, but we can't. You know, I think a lot of the tech is going to go into agricultural technology like machineries, and you're going to see it implemented along different parts of the supply chain. And we're in the early stages of it, but the technology is very, very promising. But I would say, you know, we're still several years out for it to go full implementation.
Well, a lot of other companies are just starting as well. But let's talk about you expanding into the liquors and spirits market using coffee byproducts. What challenges do you foresee in the future?
Sure. So most coffee companies you're going to see in the world, one, aren't doing anything with byproducts, and two, definitely aren't talking about creating liquors. You know, one of the core thesis of our business is not only to move further into roasted coffee, which a lot of coffee companies want to do because the margins are higher. You can hedge away from commodity price risk of green coffees. But, you know, what you see in farming at origin, and we're one of the few companies that do specialize at origin, we're farmers first, and then we kind of control the whole supply chain after that, is there's a massive amount of waste. For viewers who don't know, coffee comes in a red cherry form. Only about one third of the weight is the actual seed of the coffee cherry, which you drink every single day. The rest is almost like a grape, like a hardened grape. But usually farmers don't use it for anything. They throw it in their yard, say they're using it for fertilizer, but it's really an ineffective fertilizer. What we've done over the past couple of years is done a lot of research and development to find out what's the best use case. And after 2 years of study with some of the best agronomical universities here in Colombia, we've found that ethanol, pure grade human consumable ethanol, is one of the best use cases, an easy launch pad to begin the byproducts journey. So here in Colombia, we see a massive gap that's in consumer products of alcohol within vodkas and gins. There is no national vodka and gin, and there's really nowhere in the world that has alcohol made from coffee cherries, especially a byproduct, which is typically a negative revenue stream to us because you have to pay someone to get rid of it. It can be a contaminant for the environment. So it has obviously negative correlations to value, and you're creating a useful product out of it. You know, where I see the biggest challenges is, you know, you have to convince the market of, you know, a new product if we go to B2C route. On a wholesale route, it's about selling volumes. You know, we have a unique business to where we are volume driven. For instance, last year we did over 10 million pounds of green coffee. This year we'll do over 20 million pounds of green coffee. That correlates to twice the amount we need to move in byproducts, right? So if I have 20 million pounds of green coffee, I need to move 40 million pounds of coffee cherry byproduct, which means I have a different value set in a different proposition from a typical ethanol company. Like when we build our full-scale distillery next year, I'll need to move 12,000 liters of pure ethanol. That's a 96.5% ethanol, pure. I need to move 12,000 liters a day. That's how much I need to move. Whereas if you have a typical, let's say you're a startup bourbon distillery in Kentucky, maybe your goal is, you know, 60,000, 70,000, 80,000 bottles a year. I can do 5 to 10 million bottles of that similar proof alcohol per year. So really, it's about a volume game. So you need to build a distribution channel that's capable of doing that.
Wow, that is very impressive. Thank you so much, Cole Shepherd, founder and board member of the Green Coffee Company, for joining us today and sharing your insights.
Thank you, Deanna. It's great to be here.
Thank you for tuning in to Founder's Story. Keep exploring,
keep dreaming, and join us next time for more inspiring entrepreneurial journeys.